Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get to the Pettycast here each and every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. Ooh. Yeah, text.
Are we going to have some Kyle Tucker pettiness at some point?
We already have, kind of. I mean, you and I in the previous segment were reveling in his 0 for 4 today over in Japan. So
you went 0 for 4 on opening day, which
Petty
is
appetizer.
Actually tomorrow. Because of the international dateline.
Right.
The MLB opens up on March 19th.
Yep.
But that game has already happened.
Yep. He's 0 for 4. So let's get to it here. It's March, so it's time for college basketball. Play-in games get started up tonight. The tournament as a 64-team entity gets started on Thursday this week. And I just heard during one of the breaks, the fellas are going to be out at Twin Peaks, it sounds like. The drive is going to be out at Twin Peaks for the game, so that'll be fun. I didn't hear which Twin Peaks, I apologize. Be listening during the breaks for the promos if you wanted to go join the fellas to watch some hoops. College basketball coaches getting petty. Mick Cronin of UCLA, rumored to be the front runner for the Villanova job. He's the UCLA coach. Remember earlier this year, Mick Cronin was just like threw his hands up and said, I can't coach these guys. I'm the only one bringing juice to practice every day.
Yes, yes.
He was the only one bringing the juice to practice.
He was very proud of himself.
Pointing fingers at everybody else, including the staff, too.
Made the point that he didn't even need to do it because he's already a made man.
Right, I won 500 games.
And I'm the only one that doesn't need to be out here, and I'm killing it.
Yeah.
Just look at me.
So here's Mick Cronin this past weekend being a boomer.
You know, too much goes on in youth basketball. Where it's about me and not we. It's not the kids' fault. They're a product of the system. And then they get the guys like me or Coach Izzo. I apologize. Me and Kevin Willard, we can't compare ourselves to Coach Izzo. Way out of my lane there. I'm not in his league. But, we're trying to tell you got to play defense, you got to play smart. You know, everybody else just lets them run around and shoot every time. Get beat on defense, they don't come out. You know, it's not helping them, though. It's not helping them. That's why you hear all the NBA guys now talking about why there's so many Europeans, because they actually play real basketball. There's no such thing as a pickup game in Europe.
All right, so what I heard there is Mick Cronin, the blame has now shifted to the system. It's not on the kids anymore. It's the system in which they are reared, the AAU system. And B, he's basically a turncoat on America right now.
Oh!
Saying that all the Euros are the ones playing the real style of basketball.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, that's that part. I didn't even pick up on that part. Because I was actually, I pretty much agree with him with everything he's said.
Love it or leave it, Mick Cronin.
I feel like, there's a part of either a club or AAU basketball that it depends on which one you're on. I think there are some really good clubs and there are really some good AAU teams where they're coaching the fundamentals. But then there are others that are just a conglomeration of really talented kids and they go out and they play tournaments and there's not a whole lot of actual skill enhancement going on. So it all depends. I think that, I agree with him. I join him in his pettiness.
Okay.
And I would say, I'll put it this way. Yeah, we're going to let the Europeans invade us? like this, like we have been,
right.
We will not go gently into that good night versus the Euros.
Yes.
You got to get out there and teach your kids some damn. Are we really in a position where we have to talk about European basketball players being better defenders?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Hey, AAU basketball, what are you, Yella? Yeah.
Yeah.
Teach some defense.
What are you, afraid to compete? Your little meal ticket is going to get upset if I criticize him?
I'm sorry.
Your little meal ticket is upset that I asked him to play defense.
Text message. Cronin's a whiny old bitch. Okay. All right. These next two are great because these are pettiness that are triggered by a question from a reporter. The first one is Bruce Pearl, the Auburn head coach. This is at the SEC tournament this weekend, and he was asked, hey, you've lost a few games here. Are you panicked?
Is this kind of a flush it, move forward? Is there panic at all? What do you look at with this?
Man, I'm really glad you asked me that question. We lost to Alabama, Tennessee, and at Texas A&M. Yeah, we're panicked. That's a real softball. We lost to some great teams. We lost the buzzer against Alabama. We had possessions here, so... yeah, we're panicked.
he sounds overly defensive about a guy that asked the very either-or question.
Yeah.
He asked, like, I don't know, are you feeling confident? Are you feeling panicked?
Yeah.
Maybe the broad spectrum here. Oh, interesting that you would focus on the panic side of things. Why would somebody think I'm panicking? If there's somebody that doesn't panic, I'll tell you what, it's me. Calm, cool, collected, ready to go. I don't think there's a single problem or issue with the fact that we lost this good basketball team. The fact that you would suggest that I might possibly be panicking tells me you're obviously the one who's panicking. Panic. Bruce Pearl panicking. He pissed his pants right in that press conference.
Al Dott protests too much, Pearl.
I've never heard a more panicked response.
And fake Pearl set change.
Sure. I just actually literally pooped my pants. Is that what you're suggesting?
Okay.
Because that's not true. Somebody else farted. That's not me, okay? He who smelt it, dealt it. Are you the one who pooped his pants? No. Totally wasn't me. I am not sitting here in my own filth right now because I am so desperately panicking.
Is there a more thou doth protest too much than he who smelt it, dealt it?
The funniest thing there, though, is that the question was, are you feeling steady as you go or something like that?
Or are you panicked a little bit?
Are you panicked? Yeah. He basically painted a spectrum.
Yeah.
And Bruce Pearl dialed in on the panic side of things.
Yeah. He did not like hearing the P word, man, at all.
I've never seen a guy panic so hard in denying
panicking. All right,
I've been there, man. Listen, Bruce. Yeah. Been there, done that, speak from experience, yeah.
All right, here's Chris Beard, who, former Texas Tech coach, former UT coach. He's now the coach at Ole Miss. And he's beaten some big time. He himself is a big time coach, but when you beat a Hall of Famer, like long time great coaches, is the gist of the question he's about to get asked. But the reporter might want to take back the way he asked this question.
Hey, Chris, John Huang, NOLA Media. I know it's a team game, but you talked about personal challenges and going up against Hall of Fame John Calipari. You get to take on Bruce Pearl next. How satisfying is it for someone like you to play against those guys and find a way to beat them?
I'm not sure what you mean by somebody like me. We won at Fort Scott, then we won at Seminole, we won at McMurray, we won in South Carolina, we won at Angelo State, we won at Little Rock, we won at Texas Tech, we won at Texas, and this is year two, and we're winning at Ole Miss. And I don't say that in a self-promotion way at all, but I'm going to take up for our staff and our players and stuff. That the way you worded that was like, I don't know, this isn't my first rodeo.
I like all these guys. Someone like you.
Chris Beard might as well be me, Sean. You know how I can take a well-meaning comment and be like, what the hell do you mean by that,
someone
Pilgrim?
Like me. Yeah.
What the hell? What the hell? Someone like me?
This is where
Listen, son. I'll have you know.
This is where I wish we could have seen the reporter. And if when he said, how does it feel for someone like you? If he did that sort of hand thing where he kind of like ranges from like head to toe, like someone like you, you know, like carries this whole ethos here.
You know what, Sean? One time Mike and I were interviewing Bob Stoops over the phone. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is one that would have gone better in person.
Yeah.
And I was trying to make a good point, like a complimentary statement about his team and talking about them having played big games already that season. So then when it came to, I can't remember if it was a championship game or a bowl game or whatever. Then when it came to a big game like this, I could tell there was something about the way I said big game that in his mind triggered big game Bob.
Yeah.
The sarcastic version of big game Bob.
Yeah.
And he got really put out about it. I could tell he didn't go as far as these guys, but he kind of went into that like, we've played in big games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I know, I just said that. I'm not calling you big game Bob in an ironic way, okay?
Yeah, it's you're right, especially when it's over the phone too. Like there's no eye contact, there's no, no facial expression.
Yeah.
Text message. Oh, panicking we are. Yoda subsists on the text page.
Do you feel happy or sad? Huh. Interesting that you would dial right in on whether I'm sad or not.
Yeah.
I'm the happiest. Everybody calls me happy-go-lucky. The happy-go-lucky Seth. There he goes, beaming like an actual sun sitting on the face of the earth.
Okay, we got to get a couple of these in. Shannon Sharp yesterday. Kendrick Perkins and Shannon Sharp on First Take. Kendrick Perkins is talking about, I think, BJ Bickerstaff campaigning for his team to get better treatment for the officials. Something. It was something having to do with officials. Trust me, you don't need to know exactly what the top, like exactly what Perks' point was to be entertained by Shannon Sharp going off on him.
Stephen A., before you go, I want to ask Perk one thing.
Lift your camera before you say something. Lift the camera.
Hey, Stephen A., give me one second, Stephen A. Let me ask you this, Perk. What did you say when Doc Rivers was crying when y'all was in Boston about other teams getting all those calls?
Doc Rivers was never crying.
No, just stop it, Perk.
Doc Rivers was never crying when we was in Boston. Doc Rivers was never crying. The devil's a lie and the truth ain't nowhere near.
Perk, you go to church, Perk. You go to church. What did the devil tell the Lord about Joel? He said, of course he going to praise you. You give him everything. Remove the hedge and he'll cuss his very maker.
Shannon,
if they started getting fouls called against them, of course they going to complain.
Stop
playing with me, Perk.
Shannon, I did go to church. I was the world's tallest altar boy.
Okay, so you know the story of Joel.
What did the Lord tell the devil? He said you could do everything but take his life. He took his kids, he took his livestock.
What did he do? His wife said, why don't you curse this man and get out of this misery?
I was losing track of everything towards the end there.
I want to go to that church.
Yeah. Oh, Perk.
Sports debate seven. Church.
Yeah.
If you have those guys up dueling ministers at the side of... Okay, so help me out with this. Sean, you went to a Bible college. What? Okay, so in that instance, who's the Job in the analogy?
I don't know. I'm okay. I really lost it
somewhere. I understand the story of Job.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to figure out who was the.
It's some coach.
Is BJ Bickerstaff Job
complaining about the or Doc Rivers? I have no idea.
I
was just so entertained that as soon as Perk invoked the word devil.
Yeah.
It's like it hit this switch with Shannon Sharp where he's like, I am going to bury you underneath parables and chapters of the Bible right now as we speak. I was just highly entertained.
I think sometimes you can nail somebody with a biblical story just by knowing the story.
Yeah.
And then you leave it up to like the Seth Paynes of the world trying to figure out like, everything he said was accurate about that story in the Bible. So I guess he wins?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who am I
in this whole thing? Yeah.
Okay. I need the listeners to, in the voice of Yoda, in the style of Yoda, explain who Job was. In Shannon Sharp's argument.
There you go. Here's Charles Barkley. He just hates the Lakers. This is some of the other folks on the set on TNT were trying to invoke some sympathy for the Lakers having 6 games in 8 days. Charles was having none of this.
6 games in 8 days and LeBron not going to the trip.
I just hope they survive.
I sense sarcasm.
I guess it's because it was.
Why so much sarcasm for the Lakers?
No, man. No, not. They act like, listen, man, they're not flying commercial. They're not flying Southwest.
Come on, man. There's nothing wrong with Southwest.
But if you want to stop. NBA games,
come on, man. Stop it, man.
There's something wrong if you
come on, man.
Well, they do say that elevation can aggravate inflammation. Stop it.
He wasn't going to play anyway. LeBron's probably out for the rest of the season. I don't see him coming back. We don't have to ask his agent. And he stayed in New York because it was New York. He didn't want to go to Milwaukee because it's Milwaukee. That's why he flew back home. Stop it, man. He got me juicing y'all up all the time. He stayed in New York.
What's wrong with Milwaukee?
I didn't say, no, he,
the
listen,
mean streets.
He said he stayed in Milwaukee. He stayed in New York because, like, that's New York. He's like, well, I better go home because we're flying to Milwaukee next. Stop it, man. Got nothing to do with elevation, all that other stuff. Come on. Stop it, please.
This is the difference between Draymond Green and Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Draymond Green basically did the same thing when he, without knowing exactly why, who was the player that he was criticizing that was in the worst take of the week last week.
Oh, Draymond was, Karl-Anthony Towns.
That's right. It was Karl-Anthony Towns. Yeah. Turns out he had to go home and miss a game for a funeral with a close friend.
Yep.
But Draymond went off on him saying this is what actually happened. He was ducking whoever.
Jimmy Butler, yeah.
But Barkley's doing the same thing without the funeral involved where he's just heavily accusing LeBron of not traveling because he wanted to stay in New York, but he gets away with it because he's funny.
Charles Barkley.
And meanwhile, is doing this, criticizing the toughness and the willingness of players to play through adversity. As a guy who is notorious for slowly riding a stationary bike while eating an Egg McMuffin while his teammates would practice. Yes. And yet, because he's funny, he gets away with it.
He's funny.
He is in that group of individuals back when NBA players did fly commercial. And I feel like those guys are allowed to, they're allowed to really act like crusty old men when it comes to players that fly on private jets.
Flew commercial, and I think we're tougher when it came to injuries, too. I think that's a big part of it with Charles. Charles was not always the hardest practicer in the world. But he would, when he said, if he could walk, he would play.
He would play.
Yeah.
I do appreciate his I hope they survive.
Yeah, that was funny at the very beginning. It was good. I'll save this last one, Ben, because Ben, I think this will take us 3 minutes to do, and I'll look at Ben, and Ben will be like, why aren't you guys going to break? So I'll save
I'm
this
excited.
One. Yeah, I'll save
Let's
this.
Let's do that.
We'll do it a little later in the show.
Okay.
A little Mike Francesa action. Proof that maybe all the guys who've moved to the streaming don't exactly know how the streaming works necessarily. So we'll get to that. I promise we'll get to that one later in the show. We're not done being petty on the show here on a Tuesday. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne with you. All right, the Astros. How are we feeling about the Astros heading into the season based purely on the talent level of the team? Baseball America put out their list of the top 100 players, and it got me feeling a little more tingly about the upcoming Astros season. Do we agree with this? Do we agree with what Baseball America is saying about our squad? We will talk about that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It really is incredible, and remarkable that with the Astros, and I know Baseball America's top 100 player list is a subjective list. There's no real stats. There's no computer science to it or anything. But we're coming up on a decade here pretty soon of this period of dominance that they've had. You know, at times dominant, at times merely highly competitive, but there's never been a major dip yet in this period.
At the very beginning, before you even knew enough to know that it was a dip, 2016 was where you go, you make the playoffs in 2015. You don't in 2016, but at that point, we didn't know how good we were going to have it.
Yeah, you're still kind of building at that point. Yeah.
So from 2017 through last season, at the very least, a hell of a run of being World Series contenders and favorites at various times.
And managing to maintain your spot on lists like this. And for those who don't know, Baseball America puts out a top 100 player list every year right before the season starts. And while it feels like, especially this offseason, Seth, with Bregman and Tucker both leaving simultaneously, same offseason, this is the first one where you've really lost two guys like that on the heels of several years of losing at least one guy that's that sort of category of a top 100 player. I mean, all the guys they've lost at the time they've lost them have been on the list like this, and many of them way up the list like this. When Gerrit Cole left, and when George Springer left, and Carlos Correa, and Justin Verlander, and now Alex Bregman and Kyle Tucker. And yet, the Astros tied for the second most players in the top 100 players list going into the season, with the Dodgers behind only the Braves. another team that's lost a bunch of guys. I mean, they're like the Astros of the NL in terms of that. Like, the Braves lost a bunch of guys, and there's still nine guys in the top 100. And who picked a lot of those guys or was involved with it? Dana Brown. That's who.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost Dana Brown's got two teams in there.
So they're tied for second or tied for third?
Tied for second. Tied for second with the Dodgers.
Tied for second on the list as of at least a couple days ago, the Astros were the seventh favorite to win the World Series this year. So, all right. So I think it's, you don't even have to know anything about the Astros where you can fill in where the difference is between, okay, having the second most highly regarded players on your team versus, okay, why you're a little bit lower down on the list.
Yeah.
It's because some of the deficits and some of the question marks are a lot bigger than they used to be for the Astros. Just having right now as it is in the lineup, we'll see. But having a center fielder and a right fielder that are huge minuses at the plate, that hurts. That, you know, these things work against you. The part that I would be optimistic about as an Astros fan is I know that year in and year out, the Astros' younger pitchers are, you know, almost as a rule underrated by the rest of the league. And even the league knows, even though the league knows that the guys like Hunter Brown are going to come along, or, you know, that Spencer Arrighetti very well could develop into a solid starting pitcher, they're calling it as they see it right now.
Yes. And I think the other reason, too, if we're just taking this group of eight players as sort of the correlation between how good are you versus, you know, with respect to how many top 100 players you have, they've got eight in the top 100. They've got two in the top 68. You know what I mean? So So Yordan's 13th on the list. Framber is 44th on the list. And then, so you're probably going, okay, well, that's two, and we're already to 44. Yeah, Christian Walker is next at 69. The Astros have five more players from 74 on. Jose Altuve is 74, which is a little depressing to see because it's one of those things like, oh, that's cool. He's still a top 100 player, but it's trending in that direction where we've got to start to worry about Jose Altuve. Isak Paredes is 76, which I think tells you, okay, good job, Dana Brown. Good pickup in the Kyle Tucker trade. Yiner Diaz makes his first appearance in the top 100, 85. Hunter Brown makes his first appearance in the top 100, 94. Jeremy Peña returns to the top 100. He was 97 a couple years ago, dipped out for a year, and now he's 98. So you got a bunch of guys that are in that, in terms of a list like this, that are in that very good but not yet great or not great anymore category.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a different ecosystem, Sean. I'm going to start using the ecosystem the same way the Magnificent Gladstone uses it. I'm going to talk about the ecosystem of the Astros and how they can get back to the ecosystem they used to be.
You had to pick one guy out of these eight who would be a major surprise one way or the other, who either would shoot way up, who could shoot way up the list this year, or maybe is overrated on this list a little bit.
Yiner.
Yep.
Yeah. Yiner would be the guy. Yiner did a lot of things really well as a young catcher last year, and his ability at the plate is very, very promising. I think Yiner is the guy that's probably less discussed than he should be, but still is a work in progress. Yiner continue to improve defensively. Now, and remember there was an article out earlier in the year that said, well, okay, he was really bad at pitch framing, and which is a big deal these days in baseball. But people were saying, well, it might not matter once they bring in the automated strike zone because of the challenge system. You got to remember, you only get two challenges per game, or at least two successful challenges. You only get two... How's it work? You get two challenges. If you're successful, you can keep challenging. But it's not like it's going to take pitch framing completely out of it.
Right.
Because the pitch framing especially is good for the ones that the batter isn't going to feel confident enough to challenge. It was like, okay, it was right on the brink. It was right on the line. And you're getting those calls that an umpire might have maybe made a mistake and called it in versus out and all that. So it's a thing. He's got to keep working on
that.
That's
a great point. It still matters. Yeah, you get the way I understand it is you get to keep challenging until you get two of them wrong.
Right,
and
right.
Then, and then once two...
I just tried to figure out a succinct way to phrase that.
Yeah.
You start off with two challenges, you can lose them, so it's not like you can use them liberally whenever you feel like
You
got to be careful about it. So pitch framing is still going to matter.
Still going to matter, yeah.
You got to fool the batter a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Now there's with the pitch framing before, you're trying to fool the umpire, but now you also got to be sure that the batter doesn't feel like you had to jerk your glove out there to get it.
That's right. Yiner's a good one. I would say, man, all three at the bottom of this list of guys in the top 100, like Yiner, Hunter Brown, and Jeremy Pena, I all think are fantastic candidates for the answer to the question I posed to you. If there were a big riser from these, because, I mean, Hunter Brown is 94 on the strength of basically 4 months of baseball last year. He was abjectly the worst starting pitcher in baseball if he had the entire season last year that he had from June on, he'd be where Framber is on this list. And I feel more like he's that guy because that's how he ended the season than he's going to revert back to what he was. And Pena's been outstanding this spring. I mean, we've all been kind of waiting and hoping for Jeremy Pena's offensive game to catch up to what he was offensively in the postseason in 2022. Like for 2022 to not look like the anomaly anymore, to make it look like all the work that he puts in the offseason in becoming a better hitter comes to fruition with some better numbers. And he's had a really good spring so far.
I guess I'm glad you brought up Hunter Brown, because it's true that, hey, he added the sinker. RIP Alex Bregman, thank you for everything.
60th
you did for
best
us,
player Alex Bregman encouraged that, yes.
Including suggesting that Hunter Brown uses sinker. But after, I didn't arbitrarily choose this, after he had a poor performance in June 2nd.
Okay.
After that, he ended up, so from June 8th through the end of the season, he had a 2.2 ERA.
Wow.
With a batting average of .221 against him.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, like, in my mind, okay, that's where, I'm glad you framed it the way you did, because I think I've almost thought, like, yeah, Hunter Brown is who he was from June onward, and that's all there is to it. He does have to show that he can do it for an entire season.
Full season,
but,
yeah.
Because I did the same thing with Javier, where Javier kind of got worked into being a starting pitcher and then ended up being brilliant, but in limited usage, and then it was different once he had to do it for an entire season.
That's the big question with all of these guys, that the pitchers that are starting pitchers that are working their way into being fixtures on the staff, is even in this day and age where they get load managed a lot more closely, you know, there's more science behind it. A lot of teams with six-man rotations, so you're pitching every 5 days instead of every 4 days, that kind of thing. Or with 4 days rest, you're pitching with 5 days rest, that kind of thing. They're all, by definition, approaching innings loads that they've never hit before, you know?
Yeah.
There's nobody pitching 210 innings in the minor leagues or in college or in high school or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a big leap to what you're hoping for.
Yep.
I tell you, if I cherry-picked even further and went from July 12th to the end of the season, because there was one, he gave up 7 earned runs on July 6th versus Minnesota.
Oh, I was there. I was at that game.
Yeah, that's right. You were at that game.
Yeah.
It's not, honestly, that one bad outing didn't hurt him all that much over, you know, from June onward, because his ERA was 2.32 as opposed to 2.4, whatever.
Yeah.
But from June onward, that was an outstanding major league pitcher.
Absolutely.
Last year.
Absolutely. And if I wasn't at the ballpark, he'd have been even better. Is there a way, can you filter games Sean Pendergast was not at?
I would probably, I don't know. I'm not going to pay for the premium version of Baseball Reference, because that's one of those things that in a fit of desperation at 3 a.m., I'll be like, yeah, I'll pay $30 a month for these advanced stats and ability to do calculations. And then a year and a half later, I'm emailing a furious email to Baseball Reference saying, I never signed up for this. I don't know what shenanigans you guys are up to, but I demand a refund.
It was late at night. I wasn't thinking. I got a little horny for some advanced stats. And it happens on the internet, man. You spend money on stuff that you never thought you'd spend money on before.
Never go on Baseball Reference drunk, okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Only stats. I went on onlystats.com. So those are the eight. If you're wondering, former Astros on this list, Kyle Tucker, 14, right behind Yordan. 60, Alex Bregman. Carlos Correa, still getting a little top 100 love. 84th on the list of top 100 players.
Kyle Tucker, for any of you interested in a little bit of, like, let's follow this through. All right, he came back from his injury last year. Remember where he kind of just lazily took his time coming back from what was a minuscule microscopic fracture. Small enough that modern technology and imaging couldn't even pick it up. Yet he saw fit to basically sit out an entire from the vernal equinox to the to the summer solstice and beyond. In the playoffs, yeah, he batted 0.0.
Mm.
And so far in the regular season, he batted 0.000.
Yep.
He was 0-for-4 today on opening day in Japan. Yes.
Do you think most Astro fans root for these guys that leave in free agency or root against guys that leave in free agency?
They root for George Springer,
yep,
and that it hasn't worked out that well. I think most will root for Alex Bregman, except for the unfortunate circumstance of him playing for Boston.
Well, and there was the narrative around how he handled the whole free agency, too, where I think a lot of Astro fans just remember that how long it took for him to arrive at going to the Red Sox.
So you think they're going to root against him?
Yeah, there was like a Bregman fatigue at the end of that whole journey.
There definitely was for me by the time it was over, and it was definitely over. I was more mad at baseball writers than I was at Alex Bregman himself.
Yeah.
Carlos Correa.
Complicated.
I think people are just, what's that?
Complicated. Carlos Correa.
It's complicated. Yeah. I don't think they want to see him have success. I don't think they root against him, but I don't think they really want to see him have success. Who else am I missing?
Verlander.
Verlander will be... Yeah, I think Verlander they'll root for.
I root for Verlander.
Unless he's playing the Astros. Yeah, I think people will be... Plus, Verlander's at the point now where it's just it's a good story.
Yeah.
You see a guy pitching well in his 40s if he does well. It'd be really good. Good for him. That's go Nolan Ryan that joint. Yeah.
I can't quite put my finger on it, but Tucker is at the top of the list of guys that I hope fail at his next stop.
I really do. Yeah. I really hope he fails.
Okay,
and
you
fails
and I are in sync.
I hope
that
he falls flat on his big stupid face.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too.
I hope a baseball hits him in the forehead as he lazily tries to make his way over to... Cause you know what it is with Tucker?
What is it?
It's that he just defensively... Seems like he lost interest the last couple of years. It felt like all those things where early in his career, A.J. Hinch had to have a talking to with him about how he needs to show the same level of urgency as the other guys on the Astros. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I eagerly await him getting a gigantic contract somewhere else and then being an incredible disappointment and a weight around the ankles of some poor franchise that gave him a 12-year deal.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, this is a good segue.
You know, I wanted him to Pujols the hell out of some franchise.
This is 11 years, 336, man. That's what they were estimating yesterday on MLB.com. All right, this is a good segue then. I think I know how people are feeling about Laremy Tunsil here in Houston, but we're going to hear from Laremy Tunsil. And I got to tell you, hearing from Laremy Tunsil as a Washington Commander made me feel a little bit different than I did when the trade went down a week or so ago. We'll talk about that coming up next.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Got a text from a buddy. I'll root for Verlander. F those other guys. That's great.
Yeah, that's good pettiness on a petty Tuesday.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I almost said his name. But yeah, screw those other guys.
Exactly what I texted back to him. I said, you're petty like me and Seth. It's good.
Yeah, let's embrace all your pettiness, especially with Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker has started off 0-4. Is he clearly going to be a huge disappointment and an overspend, especially as the Astros gained potentially probably a perennial MVP candidate
in Cam Smith. Yes.
Based on one game played so far, I think a huge bust.
Huge bust. You win, Dana Brown. Yeah. You win the trade. Yeah, you just Dana Brown won the Kyle Tucker trade. For those who don't know what we're talking about, because you may not, I was reminded of it this morning when I opened my scoreboard app so I could see what time the Astros are playing today. Oh yeah, that's right. The Major League Baseball regular season began today over in Japan with a 4-1 Dodger win over the Cubs. So Shohei could go on his field trip back home with all his buddies. So
yeah, that must have been a pretty cool atmosphere. I want to go watch
it. Looked like it.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, it looked pretty cool.
How big did the stadium look?
I don't know. It looked normal size, like normal baseball stadium size, but it looked like a really now granted, the parts I was seeing were on SportsCenter where they were doing things like introducing Shohei and watching Shohei get base hits and things like that. So it was a good crowd, man. They
probably not a lot of that. It's hard to make it much bigger. Probably not a lot of dual purpose football, American football / baseball no. stadiums over there. You know, there's no equivalent of Three Rivers Stadium or anything that you can go out and repurpose. Yeah.
Yeah. Nope. all right. So here's Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil, former Texan, spoke yesterday. And I'll remind people that when we put up the approval poll for the Tunsil trade for Texan fans, 88% said they approved of this trade. So they were glad that Laremy Tunsil got sent to the Commanders for a bunch of draft picks. And reasons why it was 88%, I would imagine there's a lot of them, but chief among them, hey, we could certainly use these draft picks. But I think among them, I don't think Laremy Tunsil was very popular here.
It's one of those things, though, too, that if you approve it in the moment, that you got to check back in a few months later, because I think a lot of us, when we saw Laremy Tunsil leave, you thought, oh, well, clearly they're probably going to bring in an impact player or two on the offensive line, then use some of that cap space. So far, it hasn't worked out that way.
Not yet.
So far, it hasn't worked out that way.
Not yet. Yeah. There's still time, but not yet. You're absolutely right. Here was Laremy Tunsil talking about how no hard feelings leaving Houston. And I think we get a glimpse into when he was wondering why he was being traded, what D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, both of whom met with Laremy Tunsil after the trade was consummated, what the reason was he was being let go.
I've been in this position before with the Miami Dolphins getting traded to Houston. So what I learned, don't take anything personal. And it's just strictly just a business. And I actually, before I left the building, I talked to those guys, D'Amico and Nick. And pretty much, they're just trying to keep the young guys together. As simple as that. You know? When I was a rookie, and I was talking to my OG, who was Brandon Albert, and Jermaine Bushrod and Mike Pouncey, they told me it's a young man's game. And, you know, I've seen it for myself. You know, they drafted some young guys, and they hit on every draft pick. You know, they're trying to keep those guys together. So I fully understand. Like, they just paid Stingley today. Like, they just gave that boy that bag. So I truly understand. Like, it's no hard feelings. Like, at the end of the day, it's a business. You know what I mean? I don't take anything personal. There's no hard feelings against the Houston Texans. You know, I thank them for just putting me in this position, and I thank them for everything they did for me and my family and changing my life. So I get it, man. When I was with Miami, I didn't get the courtesy call from Miami. You know, I kind of woke up out of my nap and got traded. So at least this time was a little bit different.
Okay, couple things.
Yep.
One, I'm not a fan of him not giving me anything to be petty about. This is a petty Tuesday, Laramie. You should have been, if you cared about Houston, you would have given us something to get petty about, you know? But no, you didn't care.
Nope.
You only wanted to make yourself look good. Same way with all those false starts all these years.
That's right.
Damn it.
Yep.
But it is interesting that he says he didn't really even get the courtesy call when the Dolphins traded him away. But he wasn't overly distraught over that trade either. At the time, he had said... he had said when they explained to him how much they traded him for, he said, I would have traded me too.
Yeah.
So the philosophic side of, hey, it's a young man's game. The Texans drafted, and they drafted well, and they've hit on a lot of these picks. They're going to have to pay these guys. All of that is 100% true, and that it's to operate, you need to clear some space, and if you're able to get a good return for Laramie Tunsil, then so be it. If he did want to get peeved about it or upset about it at all, I'll tell you, if he were a genuinely all-pro caliber player and was genuinely worth being the highest paid offensive tackle in the league, Laramie wouldn't have been the guy that they let go.
100%.
To make that hard financial
100%,
decision.
100%,
it's just too hard to find. So, but that's the sum total of it is he's never been quite the guy that should be paid like he's the best offensive tackle in football. It doesn't mean he's a bad offensive tackle, but he's just not a complete player. He's a pass protection specialist who also cheats a little bit at that because he has so many false starts every single year. So I think, but yeah, that is the sum total of it all. For whatever reasons, the money didn't make any sense anymore. As long as you could get a good return, it was a smart, fiscally responsible thing to do.
Yeah, I think so. The penalties obviously were a big issue here. No season were they bigger than this past season. He was asked about that. Laramie Tunsil by the Washington media yesterday said that's the big thing he wants to fix.
I kind of just like challenging myself to find new challenges in my game to get better at. So every year I try to find something like, hey, I can do this better, or I want to do this better, or I want to be known for this. Or, you know, so I kind of just put that chip on my shoulder by myself. It's really just me versus me at the end of the day. You know, especially there's a lot of things I want to work on. Like those 19 penalties I had last season was unacceptable. So that's something I want to address for sure, getting that number down or even having none. You know, I want to keep growing as a player, honestly, as a pass blocker, a run blocker. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm always trying to improve in each of those fields.
This is going to be the annoying thing next year is that I do think he's not going to have many false starts because he did that this year when it was at a fever pitch and it was absurd. I mean, he was going to fly through and break all kinds of records for how many times he would be penalized, especially after games like that Minnesota game where it was multiple penalties on one single drive, all of those. He figured it out and stopped getting all the false starts. It's interesting that he also took a step backwards in some respects in terms of pressures allowed and everything, but compared to his normal effort, I do think he's going to clean that up because he showed that he could. Then he had the hiccup when Davis Mills came in, which is obviously with the different cadence and everything. It's not a complete excuse, but I think he will clean that up, and that's going to be annoying because you and I, every Tuesday before the Pettycast, are going to be looking for Laramie Tunsil 5 penalties in the first half of a game against the Eagles or something.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to find it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think he's going to be a good player for Washington. He was a good player here. It's just I think there was more going on with the O-line room as a whole here.
Yeah.
That in some ways, Laramie was the easy move because he was clearly the one that you could actually argue you were going to get something back that made you better in the form of draft, in the form of draft capital. So I understand the whole thing. It's funny when he says, I look to get better at one thing every year. Yeah, I really work on one thing. He immediately reminded me of James Harden. And that was for all the extra that came with James Harden.
Yeah.
And I think these two are very similar in this way. For all the extra that came, because there's extra that comes with Laramie Tunsil too, just in terms of, man, I wish this guy could just be more of a killer. I think we say that same thing about James Harden. James Harden would say that same thing too. He would go execute it. Like, you can look at the player James was when he got to Houston in 2013 and what he was by the time they were making the Western Conference Finals in 2018. And it's like a robot that you kept adding different functionalities to for the next 5 years.
James Harden was like a brilliantly diabolical accountant. He was going to figure out a way to exploit a loophole.
Yeah.
To the point where NBA officials had to do seminars in their off time on the gather step and how to officiate the gather step.
Or the drive through where he's raising his arms up the other guy's arms.
One was at least, and that was so, multiple times James Harden has basically exploited the rule book to a point where they had to figure out exactly how to handle it.
Yeah.
The gather step was the most brilliant one because it's if you ever go online and just like watch an official really try to explain how to officiate the gather step, I don't know how they do it in real time.
Yeah.
But with Tunsil, I still think that a lot of his improvements have come in maybe how he is pass protecting. He's just never shown that he genuinely cares about being a good run blocker at all. And the one that drove me the craziest was on screens, which, again, doesn't hurt your pass protection grade when you're horrible on screens. But the number of times we would see Laramie Tunsil not block a single person on screens, despite being one of the most athletic offensive linemen in the league, that drove me insane.
Yeah.
That drove me absolutely insane. I would have traded him alone. I would have traded him based on a couple of games where he didn't touch a single person when they tried to run screens. It drove me insane.
I Payne and Pendergast with you as we head into the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to play Nick Caserio from back in February when we asked him, are you going to get Derek Stingley signed to a new deal? How does that clip play now that Stingley got his new deal very early on here in the NFL business year? And what were they saying around the league yesterday about Derek Stingley Jr. and his record-setting contract extension? That is next.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.